Audiobook made of the online version on the homepage of Martinus Institute, Copenhagen. The Immortality of Living Beings. The book consists of the following articles: The Immortality of Living Beings, Contact Letters 1957. The Necessity of Spiritual Science, Cosmos 1947. Primitiveness and Superstition, Cosmos 1953. The Immortality of Living Beings. Chapter 1. Only through the recognition of the immortality of beings can the justice of their happy and unhappy fates be revealed. If human beings are really going to be able to understand the justice of the universe, the justice of the lives of human beings, the justice of the lives of the animals, the justice of all the many forms of unhappy fate that the lives of the living beings of today represent, it is absolutely essential that one comes to understand that all living beings are immortal, which means that behind their perishable physical organism they possess a higher eternal structure made up of ray-formed or psychic matter in which they can experience life without their physical organisms. In this psychic or cosmic structure they can survive every kind of destruction of the physical organism. The being, by means of this spiritual structure, can, through the physical process of fertilization, again assist in the creation and development of the little embryo in the mother's womb that will become its new organism in its new physical life. Since every organism is thus a created thing, it must again perish. But by virtue of its cosmic or psychic structure the being, as previously mentioned, survives the death of its organism and continues its experience of life in the spiritual or psychic world until the conditions for being able to assist in being born again in the material world are met. And so the being continues a certain epoch of its eternal existence in the form of physical rebirths, until it has reached a certain perfection in thinking and behavior. Chapter 2. In order to reach the highest perfection or become man in God's image, it is essential that one experiences with one's intellect God's love and justice in the universe. Is there anything in life or existence that confirms this view in such a way that it can become something other, something more, than a beautiful assertion? Yes, life itself confirms this view to such an extent that it can become concrete knowledge for every normally developed, intelligent and undogmatic human being. It is the meaning of life that the human being will be able to learn to observe and experience the real truth about his own immortality and fate with his intellectual faculties in such a way that it becomes concrete knowledge about the justice or love of God in the government of the universe and thereby the unshakable basis of life for the being concerned. With this basis of life or cosmic knowledge, the human being cannot avoid becoming a joy and a blessing for all other living beings in his surroundings and thereby himself becoming one with God. It is the only way in which he can fulfill the divine purpose, to reach the highest initiation or to become the human being in God's image. God is solely a joy and a blessing for all living beings. And this alone can be his purpose in his evolution of the human being. The human being, through his behavior, will fulfill the divine principle, to be shining, warming and life-giving. Without this behavior he cannot possibly be in God's image. Chapter 3, What the Living Being's Evolution Confirms for Us. Where then in daily life can we find something which confirms for us the immortality of the living being? Here we must of course first and foremost understand nature's great processes of creation and, through this understanding, see that there are no coincidences causing creation, controlling and guiding suns and galaxies in the microcosmos and the macrocosmos, deciding the lives and fates of the living beings and so on. This great process of creation is not, in all of life's phenomena, beyond the understanding of the uninitiated human being. It can in vast areas be investigated and checked by the human being's ordinary intellectual abilities. It has many finished results that are 100% available for the human ability to experience. These finished results of nature's, which means God's, creation show themselves without exception to be ultimately a joy and a blessing for living beings. To these finished results belong, among other things, our senses. Are not our sight, our sense of smell and taste together with all our other organs of life a blessing for us? Is not the transformation of the earth from a flaming ocean of fire, a raging world conflagration, to its present state as a splendid planet for vegetable and animal living beings, a transformation or a creation that is a joy and a blessing for living beings? There was a time when the apparently lifeless mineral forms were the only created phenomena on the Earth. Then the mineral forms became plant forms. The plant forms developed and became animal forms or animal organisms. The animal organisms became human organisms. So through epochs of evolution lasting millions of years, there took place a great creation in matter that resulted in an evolution of organisms for living beings that became more and more perfect. And we see that this transformation is still going on. Behind all these outer phenomena or organisms, there is something that experiences through these organisms. This something, together with an organism to which it is connected, constitute what we know as a living being. This entire great process of evolution is thus experienced by living beings. For animals and people, this experience is more wakefully day-conscious than for plants. Within the area of human beings, we also see that the people of today do not live in that ignorance and primitiveness in which, for example, our Stone Age forefathers lived. They had to live in holes and caves. They did not have the fine, soft materials for making clothes with which we are blessed today. They had none of the benefits of technology that mankind today has so abundantly at his disposal. We are born to modern conditions, splendid houses, means of transport and machines that can work for people. We are born to the beginnings of civilized circumstances, to physical knowledge and ability that lie enormously high in relation to the living conditions of prehistoric man. There are, however, still many unpleasant things and inconveniences from which people suffer today, but from which people of the future will be totally free. These people will come to stand just as high above the human beings of today as human beings are above the people of nature in the primordial forest or in innermost Africa. At the same time, we see that this evolution also changes the living being's mentality and perception of life from brutality to humaneness. Whereas, at a certain stage in the past, one believed that destroying one's enemies or oppressing them with force was glorious, was a totally fitting form of worship of God. One now begins to be disgusted with that form of worship of God, and that form of existence. And today people want truly lasting peace on earth. When they make war, it is because they really cannot imagine any other way to the salvation or the liberation from war and catastrophe that they desire from the bottom of their hearts. There begins, however, a great unfolding of power in favor of the building of a true road to peace through peaceful means and not through war. But quite apart from this, the majority of people today live under much nearer to perfect and much healthier conditions than people in the past. The wish for peace and justice for all people grow and spread over the entire earth. This entire great process of evolution to which all living beings are subject can be likened to a great river whose waters lead from dark and sinister underground caves and forward to light and beautiful sunlit regions. It confirms that God leads all living beings towards the light. Chapter 4, How Ignorance Has Created the Superstition that Living Beings Are Mortal. Evolution has thus led living beings forward to being on the lookout for justice in the very processes of nature, life's own processes. But here people's capacities are still somewhat inadequate. To a great extent, they in reality come to find that there is no justice in nature itself. Here everything is apparently fortuitous. And since they too still do not have the ability to apprehend the cosmic structure of the living being, the psychic or spiritual side of the same being, and must therefore be guided by the purely physical side, so millions of like-minded people live with the idea that living beings are mortal. This in turn means that they are born, they come into existence, and they perish again. And here we have arrived at one of mankind's very greatest questions. As long as the human being believes in this mortality, it will be impossible for him to find any meaning whatsoever in existence and thereby in his perception of life. If the living being were a mortal being who really had only a certain limited space of time in which to live in order then to be annihilated, true justice in life would, as previously mentioned, be a total impossibility. All living beings on the earth would then live under a single, all-embracing, glaring injustice. Do we not see how, From the very birth of the living beings, there is an absolutely brutal difference between some beings' fate and that of others. Why should some children be born wretched and infirm, bile their entire lives, while others are born with tremendous chances for survival and with great potentiality for life? Why should some children be born to cruel parents who are both unloving and primitive, while other children are born to parents who are loving beyond measure and fulfill their duties towards them? Why do millions of people die of hunger and poverty, while other people live in enormous wealth and luxury? If living beings had only their present physical life, there would be absolutely no justice whatsoever in existence. Chapter 5, If the Living Being is Immortal. That one can imagine an eternal life which